First Kings chapter 13 is where we're at. And in this chapter, there's some very sobering and sad things that occur in this chapter. The encountering of a prophet from Judah that goes up to Israel to speak against what Jeroboam is doing at Bethel. Now remember Jeroboam, as we studied last Wednesday night, had established his own religious system, his own centers of worship, his own priests, his own spiritual holidays or festivals, and ignored all that God said because he didn't want the people to go to Jerusalem and worship the true God lest they return to Jerusalem and become united under Rehoboam. And so he established everything, and as the scripture said, it was according to his beliefs, his what he had established, not God. Well, the Lord is going to bring a prophet against that, and he's going to speak against it. But I also want to see, simply because you've been commissioned as a prophet of God and speak the truth, doesn't mean that you don't have to listen to God yourself. So that's what we're going to be looking at this afternoon. So let's begin at chapter 13, verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And so Bethel is where Jeroboam has established that all the people should come for the festivals and where the main altar should be, although he had another altar at Dan in the very northern part of Israel. And he put golden calves at both locations, which are an abomination to the Lord. And he, that is the prophet, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of God, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. Now this prophecy was made, and Josiah's name was mentioned by specifically, and this event would occur, and it would be just about 300 years following when the prophecy was made. Josiah would be the king. He was the grandson of Hezekiah, and Josiah would be a godly man, and he would come and destroy the false prophets at Bethel and bring the people back to worshiping the Lord and cause them to repent and turn to God. So this prophecy would become true. We can look back and see historically it's accurate. But it wasn't enough that he made this prophecy, because a lot of times people say, well, that's nice, but that doesn't impact me today. How do I know that what you're saying is really true? Well, the prophet said God was going to give a sign to Jeroboam that what he was saying was true. This false worship would go on for a period of time, but there was coming a godly man one day who would destroy it all in the name of the Lord under the power of God. And to prove that this prophecy was true and accurate, the following sign is given in verse 3. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar of Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him, and his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in against to him. So Jeroboam was standing by the altar. Now I want you to see some things. First of all, he's the king. He's not to be there offering sacrifices of any type. The king wasn't to offer the sacrifices, priests were. And the priests, if you remember, would be the descendants of Aaron, and specific priests from different sons of Aaron had different responsibilities. This was not to be the king's responsibility. And there are other kings in Judah, that attempted to do this later on, and they were also judged for attempting to do the priest's job. It was not the king's responsibility to do anything with the sacrifices. But Jeroboam's religion is totally of men, really of him, and so he thinks he can do whatever he wants. So he is there offering the sacrifice, and when the man of God speaks against him, and he sticks out his hand and says, "Take hold of him." In other words, I want to grab him, and really, I think he wanted to put him to death for what he was saying. And when he puts his hand forth, the Lord smites him, so his hand withers and is paralyzed. He can't bring it in against his body. He can't move it, and it's withered. And God did that as a sign, as one sign. And I want you to see Jeroboam's responsibility, because Jeroboam, he wants to believe in the power of God when it's to his benefit, but when it's not to his benefit, he wants to live by his power. Well, now he needs God's help, because he has gotten a withered, paralyzed hand in a matter of seconds from the Lord. Nothing he can do about it. He didn't do anything to bring it about as far as an accident or anything. He just spoke and did against what God had commanded him to do. Verse 5, "And the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord." So God showed this sign, along with the sign of Jeroboam's hand, that who's in control here? Lord is, not Jeroboam. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, "Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God," and I want you to see, "entreat thy face the Lord thy God." He's not the God of Jeroboam. He doesn't say, "the Lord my God," but he says, "the Lord thy God." And so Jeroboam's even stating by his own words, he's not trusting and believing in God. But he says, "Call on the name of the Lord thy God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me again." And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again and became as it was before. Now you would think that this would be something that would cause Jeroboam to repent and to say, "I guess I know who the true and living God is," but he doesn't. And he doesn't repent, and he goes on, and we're going to see that not so much in this chapter, but later on you will see that Jeroboam didn't repent. And he did not seek to worship God, but he continued to worship false gods, false idols, bring high places into Israel, false worship into Israel, false belief systems, and the worship of demons. All of this Jeroboam did, even though God had restored his hand at the prophet's request. It also shows the power of God, and it shows the mercy and grace of God, that even those who are against the Lord, sometimes the Lord will intervene and reveal his power to them. He did this to Jeroboam. "And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward." So, I want you to see Jeroboam's focus. Jeroboam's focus isn't, "Lord, thank you for healing my hand." No, his thing is, "Oh, you did a great job in intervening for me. Come home and I'll get you a reward for making that prayer to God and that you were able to get God to heal my hand." No, it's not. Jeroboam doesn't go to the Lord and thank the Lord, but instead he wants to have fellowship with the prophet. God say to the man? "And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place." And so he's saying, "I will not fellowship with you. I won't have anything to do with you." And a sign of eating and drinking with someone is having fellowship with them. And he says, "I'm not going to have fellowship with you. I'm not going to spend time with you." And one of the reasons is that God told him not to do that. Verse 9, "And so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest." Now he had come up to, he'd come to Bethel from Jerusalem, from Judah, and he'd come a certain way. God says, "Now you go back to Israel and Jerusalem, go back to Judah and Jerusalem, but don't go the same way you came. I want you to go a different way." I believe part of this is the Lord was concerned that they would seek to have him killed along the way, and that he wasn't to go back the same way he came. And so the Lord tells him this, and so he went another way, and he turned not by the way that he came to Bethel. So he's obedient to the Lord. So far, this prophet of God is doing everything that God has told him to do. Now, when you're the only one standing against a whole group of rebellious people led by a rebellious king, led by priests that aren't even priests, and you go up there, you can become a bit lonely and feel like you're all by yourself. So far, the man of God has trusted in the Lord, done everything God said, but as we're going to see here, there's going to become a problem. And part of the problem is he desires fellowship. Okay? And verse 11, now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they also told, so their father. Now, if they told him all the words that he had spoken unto the king, he had told them, okay, I'm not to have food or water, I'm not to eat or drink with you, and I'm to return, I'm not to have any fellowship here. So this old prophet from Bethel knew that. And he said to go a different way. He wasn't to linger in Bethel. He wasn't to go back through Bethel, but he was to go a different way. Where was this old prophet from? He was from Bethel. Now, was this man truly a man of God? Well, indications are he may have been, but we're going to see in a moment he doesn't express honoring the Lord and his word in what he does to this man of God that's come from the nation of Judah. And we're going to see what you think of this old prophet of God. And the father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. So his sons had watched him leave, and they saw that he was leaving a different way than he had come. And his father says, well, what way did he leave? And verse 13, and he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him an ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak, and said unto him, art thou the man of God that cameth from Judah? And he said, I am. Now I want you to see this old prophet goes out of his way to pursue and seek this man of God. The man of God has stopped to rest under an oak tree, and he sees him there, and he asks him, are you the prophet? Are you the man of God? And he says, I am. So he's found the guy that he's looking for. But I want you to see that what he is going to do is place temptation before the man of God, and the man of God fails in yielding to this temptation. Now, as I look at this prophet of God, simply because you're called a prophet of God doesn't necessarily mean you always speak the truth of God. Remember, there was another man when Israel was coming out of Egypt who was called a prophet of God. And his name was Balaam. But he was a false prophet. He was a false prophet. And he was a prophet for hire. Okay? He would do what people called him to do, and he interceded with the Lord for money. And that's exactly what the king of Moab did. Balak hired him to bring a curse upon Israel. But Balaam couldn't curse Israel because God would speak blessings out of his mouth instead of curses. But he still did that which was dishonoring to the Lord because he told Balak how he could get the children of Israel in trouble with God, and that is to intermarry with their children, have his children intermarry with their children so that their children would begin to worship the gods of the Moabites. And he said, this is how you will get God angry at the Israelites. And So Balaam wasn't there to do the will of God. This prophet, as you're going to look at, is he really there to encourage men of the Lord and to seek to have them honor God in what they do? Well, let's read on. And it says here, "And he went after the man, and he found him under the oak. And he said unto the man, Art thou the prophet? And he said, I am. Then verse 15, Then he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread." Now, he knew he wasn't to... Where's this old prophet from? Bethel. Where had the man of God come to bring the judgment against Jeroboam? Bethel. What had he been told? Go a different way. Don't stay. Don't eat. Don't drink. Where? At Bethel. So where does this prophet tell him to come? Come home with me. Where is that? Bethel. Okay, this prophet knew he wasn't to go there. He knew he wasn't supposed to eat or drink. But he says, come home with me and have fellowship with me and eat and drink with me. And he said on, I may not return with thee, nor go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. So still, the man of God is speaking the truth. He's telling him, I can't do it. I cannot eat or drink water in the place in Bethel with anyone from Bethel. Well, I want you to see this old prophet, what he does. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt not eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn away to go by the way that thou camest. Verse 18, he said unto him, this is the old prophet speaking, he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. And then there's that word but. But he lied unto him. Is he truly a prophet of God if he's lying unto him and getting him to go against the will and purposes of God? I would venture to say this is a false prophet. And his whole purpose in the angel that he'd been sent by was a demonic angel, if it was an angel at all. And I want you to remember what the Apostle Paul tells the church. He tells the Galatians. He tells them, if an angel would come with a different gospel, don't believe him. This man says, well, an angel told me. Well, who's higher, God or an angel? And would God send an angel to contradict what God had commanded a man to do? The answer is no on both accounts. The angel is not higher than God, and he would not send an angel to contradict what he had told a man to do. We need to be aware, because the church is being deceived today by false prophets that are being inspired by demonic spirits. This man, I firmly believe, if he was inspired by an angel or told by an angel at all, it was a demonic angel, it was an angel from Satan, telling him, well, bring the guy back with you and tell him an angel sent you to do that, and he will come. And, well, let's see what happens. Well, he lied unto him, the old prophet lied unto the man of God, and then what happened? So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. So where did he eat the bread and drink the water? In the house of the prophet. Where was the house of the prophet? In Bethel. Where had the man been told to leave and go a different way and not come back? Bethel. What had he cursed? Bethel. What is his purpose in being sent there? To curse Joab, not have fellowship with him, and show that God had broken fellowship with Joab because of his false religious systems. And that's exactly everything that the young man had been told to do, and now he was violating what God's command had been to him because he listened to the lies of a false prophet who deceived him and who came with his whole purpose of deception. Now, this, you're probably saying, well, this old prophet was probably very lonely because there hadn't been any people of God there because they're all worshiping this new religious system, and he wants to worship. Well, I don't care. He should have gone to Jerusalem and worshiped at the house of God then, if that was why he was lonely. He would have found fellowship there with the true priest. He would have found fellowship there with God offering proper sacrifice and observing the truth. But instead, he comes with lies. And I don't care, lies are always lies, and they stand against the truth. And this is exactly what happened here. So this young man goes back, he sits down, he has a fellowship with them, drinks bread and water, and it came to pass, as they sat at the table, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. So now the true word of the Lord comes to the prophet, and the old prophet, and he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place, and that is Bethel, of which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulcher of thy fathers. In other words, he would not be able to return to Judah. He would not be able to return to Jerusalem. And he would die in the land of Israel that was being led by a king who was seeking to undermine the authority of God's word. And so this is being spoken as truth, but the prophet had lied before. But people would say, well, how come God used this man to speak the truth to this guy? Well, part of it is God will use has used false prophets in the past to speak truth. When the Pharisees were, when the priests were getting ready to wrongly try Jesus, the high priest made the statement, it'd be better that one man die for the nation than the whole nation to die. Well, what he was speaking was the truth, because if Jesus wouldn't have died, there would be no hope for Israel, there'd be no hope for any people. Jesus had to die to pay the penalty for the sins. What he spoke was truth, his motivation was wrong and error. So we see that people who are not who are ungodly in their nature and character, God can use to say a truth. And that's what he was speaking here, this old prophet. He was speaking what was going to happen. I firmly believe Satan knew this was going to happen if the man disobeyed God and was trying to get him to do it. And the man fell for this lie and fell for this because he was probably tired and he wanted to go back and have fellowship. But the thing is, he was told by the Lord not to do it. And whenever we're told by God not to do something, don't do it. Why? Because God's got a purpose in not doing it and establishing it. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, he wanted to show Israel that his fellowship had been broken with them. It had been broken with Jeroboam. It had been broken with them, and his man was not going to fellowship or have anything to do with him, and now he goes back. So really, he's misrepresenting the message of the Lord when he did that. Verse 23, And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way, and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. Now this is very interesting. So the old priest saddles up the very donkey that he used to go and find the man, puts this guy on him, even though he knows he is sending him to his death, and says, be on your way. And the guy goes, and he gets down the road a ways, and he meets a lion. And the lion kills him, just as God said he would not get out of the land of Israel. He would never return to the land of his father's sepulchers, where his people were buried. Instead, he would die in Israel and be buried there. Now, it's interesting if you notice, it says the donkey, or the ass, the donkey, and the lion both stood by the carcass. This is not normal. I want to tell you, normal would be the lion would attack the donkey. Normal would be the donkey would run away to escape the lion. Normal is the lion would begin to devour the man that he had just killed. None of this happens. Why? Because this is a judgment by God, and he's showing that his word is true. And so let's go on and see what happens. So we see the lion and the donkey are standing by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. So they came to Bethel, and they told him about this man who was killed, and there's a lion and a donkey standing by his body. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, "Is it the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him." And so the old prophet says, see, this is what happened. He didn't listen to God, and there was judgment. Well, the old prophet should also tell that to Jeroboam. And when you don't listen to God, there's going to be judgment on you too. If God will judge his prophet, his true prophet, for disobeying him, how much more will he judge those that are deceivers and liars and those that seek to undermine and destroy the character of God? And he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. And the lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, and laid it upon the ass, and brought it back. And the old man came to the city, that is to Bethel, to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. Now I want you to see, where did he end up getting buried? In the very city that he came to pronounce judgment on. And which, you know, you stop and think about it. This guy come to pronounce judgment on Bethel, and that's where he ends up being buried. And he ends up being buried in the grave of the false prophet. I want you to know that there are churches today that have listened to the false teachings of false prophets, and who have ended up, because they've listened to those false teachings and abandoned the truth of God, God's judgments come upon them, and they have no power, they have no authority, they have no ability any longer to fulfill the word of God. And really, when that church ends up dying, where is it buried? In the grave with the false teachers, in the same place that the false teachers had brought them to. It's the same principle, just being lived out physically here, but spiritually it's happening in churches today. And it came to pass after he had buried him that he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulcher wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. And for the saying which he carried by the word of the Lord against the altar of Bethel and against the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, all surely come, shall surely come to pass. And so we see here that the old prophet saying, burn me right next to him in my grave and our bones will be there, because his words are going to come to pass. And only our bones will be here when it happens, because it's going to be in the future, but it's going to be a truth. But two things to take from this. Number one, don't listen to anyone, even if they say they're from the Lord, if they're speaking something that's against what the Lord has revealed in his by his word. If that young man had not listened to the old prophet and said, I cannot go back with you because God told me not to, he would have been alive and he would have been died in Judah and been buried with his own family. Instead, he's buried next to a man who is a deceiver. And how can you be a deceiver and really be a true prophet? You can't. You're a false prophet. So a man of God ended up being buried next to a false prophet in a land that he came to pronounce judgment over simply because he didn't obey God. May we understand the importance of obedience and walk in truth instead of error. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand these things, help us to apply these things to our lives. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 578. 578.